Stem cells could provide cures for diseases and injuries that afflict millions of people, including diabetes, Parkinson's, ALS, cancer, heart disease, and spinal cord injury.
Well, there's part of an ad from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures touting the cures, all of the things that embryonic stem cell research would eventually, or at least they hope would eventually, cure. Now, you notice one thing. You didn't hear the word embryonic or embryo in those promised cures. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight on the program, we're talking about embryonic stem cell research. Now, it's a big issue here in Missouri. There's no doubt about that. Missouri now is the battleground state on the issue of legalizing, or through a constitutional amendment here in Missouri, trying to keep embryonic stem cell research legal. Well, a lot of things fall out, like the word embryonic. A lot of words get redefined, like cloning and even the word embryo. But the arguments that we're going to deal with tonight are the same arguments that we heard in California when they dealt with the issue of embryonic stem cell research and other states beyond Missouri. We'll have our guest, Scott Klusendorf, respond to those arguments as they're made here in Missouri and elsewhere in the United States in favor of embryonic stem cell research. You can join us. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, September the 24th. Everybody who calls in tonight with a question or a comment will get a booklet titled Stem Cell Research, Understanding the Basics. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Now, before we introduce our guest, 3 weeks from tonight, the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour is going to begin in Milwaukee. We're going to be broadcasting live next Sunday, that Sunday night from it's October the 15th from Luther Memorial Chapel in Shorewood, Wisconsin. Joining us there at Luther Memorial Shorewood will be Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Leonard Payton. Now, everyone is invited to attend this live broadcast from 9 to 11, and there's a question and answer session with refreshments at 8. For more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour coming to Milwaukee Sunday, October the 15th, 3 weeks from tonight, also on Monday the 16th, visit our website, issuesetc.org. Scott Klusendorf is a regular guest here on the program. He's president of Life Training Institute. Scott, welcome back.
Todd, good to be with you.
Scott, are you against stem cell research?
Only if it leads one to become a Calvinist, but otherwise, no.
Okay.
That was a joke.
I know.
I just wanted to get your attention late hour here on the East Coast. Actually, I'm not opposed to stem cell research per se at all. In fact, I'm very much in favor of it. I am, however, opposed to one particular kind of stem cell research that involves cloning, then destroying human embryos for medical research. That kind of embryonic stem cell research, I am definitely opposed to.
And why?
Well, because it takes the life of a defenseless human being without justification. Let me give you an example here that I think works real well. If I have a bad eye and you have a good eye, Todd, should I be allowed to forcibly take your good eye to make my bad eye feel better? I think all of our listeners would say, of course not. You should not be forced to sacrifice your well-being for someone else. And that's exactly what we're arguing happens in embryonic stem cell research. An embryo that is either left over from a fertility clinic or one that is generated through a cloning process known as somatic cell nuclear transfer is destroyed so that its body parts can be used to treat disease in others. And we find that morally objectionable.
Now, someone says body parts. What are we talking about here? I thought this was about stem cells, single cells taken from the mass of cells that is the product of either fertilization or somatic cell nuclear transfer, human cloning.
Well, the only way you can argue that these stem cells are not parts of the embryo is if you believe or assume ahead of time that the embryos in question are not unified living human organisms. And indeed, that's what a lot of cloning advocates and those who support embryonic stem cell research argue. or assume. They simply assert that this is a ball of cells or a mass of cells, no different than something you'd pluck off the back of your arm or something you would pull out of a part of your head, you know, your one of your hair cells or something. But an embryo, even at the earliest stage of development, Todd, is not a mass of cells the way these cells I'm pulling off the back of my arm are at the moment. Rather, the embryo at the earliest stages of development is already a distinct, living, and unified human organism.
Well, I had the opportunity to interview Don Rubin, who's the chairman of the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures here in Missouri. They're the ones who are pushing for embryonic stem cell research through a constitutional amendment in this state. And in the course of that interview, the subject of the embryo did come up. And the question I put to him was, what does he think the product of somatic cell nuclear transfer, human cloning, is? Is it an embryo?
Well, I would say no. That the precise use of the term embryo, an embryo is created when typically in the case of natural fertilization, is created when the fertilized egg grows into a blastocyst, and that blastocyst, which is about a 5 or 6 or 7 day old clump of those cells, implants into a uterus. Only upon implantation into a uterus does the process of what's called differentiation take place, which is when these undefined cells begin to turn into blood cells, bone cells, nerve cells. That does not happen outside of the uterus. All we have outside the uterus in the lab dish are undefined cells, blank cells that have not differentiated into anything else.
What is it before it implants? I mean, in the case of natural fertilization, what is that before it implants?
It's called a blastocyst.
It's not an embryo.
It's not technically an embryo under medical definitions.
All right. Scott, I want your response to Don Rubin's definition of embryo or lack of definition.
Well, how many of the lies there shall we go after?
One at a time, Scott.
Yeah. Let's start with the first one. It is indeed an embryo, and I would like Mr. Rubin to cite one medical, scientific textbook anywhere in the world that would say different. Truth is, he has no reference to back up that claim. It's an outright lie. Or else, he is just ignorant of the facts of embryology, but either way, he has disqualified himself from being a reputable spokesperson on the question you put to him. I happen to think he knows full well what it is, but in order to push through this ballot initiative, he's going to lie through his teeth about what the embryo is. A lot of people love to use this term blastocyst or pre-embryo to try to avoid the clear scientific facts. But let's get it clear. At the completion of a cloning process or at the completion of natural fertilization, not implantation, fertilization, what you have is a distinct, living, and whole human embryo. It's a human being that has yet to grow. It's one that is yet to mature. But it is a whole living organism nonetheless. And I love the way he uses these terms, clumps of cells, and I forget the other way he put it, but generally speaking, he was referring to batches of cells or clumps of cells. No, embryos are not clumps of cells. They are distinct, living, and whole human organisms. And not one thing he said backs up his claim that they're anything different than that. He also made much of this idea that implantation is somehow decisive. That's just foolishness, and you don't even have to be someone who understands a lot about embryology to see how foolish it is. What's going to happen in about 25 to 30 years when we can sustain embryos and grow them through the fetal stages and indeed up until birth in artificial wombs? Is he going to then argue that these are not living human beings? The other thing that just is amazing to me is how he wants to claim that this is not an embryo, but he wants to do what's called embryonic stem cell research. Where are we going to get embryonic cells if not from an existing embryo? So I just don't know where he's coming from. I think it's a blatant attempt to deceive.
Well, we're going to deal a little bit more of that on the other side of the break. We're talking with Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute, about stem cell research. Of course, the occasion is the legal and electoral wrangling that's going on here in this state over a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would make embryonic stem cell research legal. But of these arguments were made in California several years ago, and they are likely to be made in many other states as this issue of embryonic stem cell research goes from state to state. Scott Klusendorf is our guest, and he's responding to some of those arguments that are made. Here's one for the other side of the break. He mentioned that they want to do embryonic stem cell research, but they don't want to talk about the embryo. In fact, there's a subtle shift. Now, instead of talking about embryonic stem cell research, the proponents of embryonic stem cell research are calling it early stem cell research. It's an E word. It's kind of the same length as the word embryo, but there's a big difference between embryonic and early. Does the changing of these definitions change the issue? We'll get Scott's answer to that on the other side of the break. I want to hear from you. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727.
Do you sometimes struggle to find time for personal devotions? What if you could study God's Word while driving your car, doing the dishes, or surfing the web? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is called Listening to Luther. It's a CD and a booklet of Luther's small catechism and six hymns written by Martin Luther. You can find out more about Listening to Luther on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You'll probably recognize the voice of Listening to Luther. It's Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Ken Sherb. Listening to Luther costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. You'll find a brief, clear study of God's Word on the essentials of the Christian faith with Listening to Luther. This devotional resource costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Listening to Luther, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are three levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. And the reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today by making a gift payable to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Well, we know that what our listeners like best about Issues Etc. is they get to listen to it. And in that vein, we're offering as our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September a booklet and an audio CD titled Listening to Luther. You can order Listening to Luther by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's a great devotional resource, and it's just $14.99 plus shipping and handling. When you order, mention Issues Etc., and our Book of the Month for September, Listening to Luther, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about embryonic stem cell research. Scott Klusendorf is our guest. Before we go to this next piece of audio, we mentioned before that the definitions get changed here. Embryonic becomes early, the embryo becomes a pre-embryo, or a fertilized egg or a blastocyst. Does changing the words or their definitions change the issue, Scott?
No. I mean, for years, people have tried to use weasel words like personhood or persons to disqualify certain human beings they'd like to destroy from, or distinguish, rather, certain human beings they'd like to destroy from those they'd like to value. Same thing's going on here. How does early change anything? I mean, would early infanticide be okay as opposed to later infanticide? If we were killing early teens rather than more mature ones, would that somehow make it right? So the word really doesn't add anything to the debate whatsoever. It's just another attempt to throw out a smokescreen to confuse people.
One of the most visible and one of the most vocal advocates for embryonic stem cell research and for human cloning for biomedical research is former U.S. Senator Jack Danforth. Here he is explaining his support for embryonic stem cell research in one of these Missouri ads.
The stem cell initiative would make it possible for very significant medical research to go forward in our state. It would provide access to cures, if those cures are found, for people who live in our state who are very sick. And it would outlaw any effort to try to clone human beings. Please join me in supporting the stem cell initiative.
All right, Scott, one of the claims I want to deal with there, and I think you might have dealt with it briefly before, this whole idea of outlawing human cloning, of course, you explained before, it's a redefinition of what human cloning actually is. But would, using the Missouri case here as our example, would it actually outlaw human cloning?
Not at all. Senator Danforth supports human cloning wholeheartedly, and he's lying through his teeth. And I've accused him of doing this for months. I would give anything to debate him publicly on this and see him try to defend the misleading statements he's making. The organization he represents, Missouri Cures, says this on their website, and I quote, "We believe that all types of stem cell research should be pursued in the effort to find life-saving cures, including research involving adult stem cells, somatic cell nuclear transfer, and stem cells from excess fertility clinic embryos, also called pre-embryos." Todd, somatic cell nuclear transfer is cloning, and Senator Danforth knows it. I refuse to believe a man of his intellect and his stature could be totally ignorant about that claim. He knows good and well it's cloning. Let me describe somatic cell nuclear transfer. This is where we take a female egg cell, we strip the DNA out of it, we replace it with donor DNA, and then we take chemicals and electricity and jolt that new entity into reproducing as a clone. Now, that's cloning. He can call it anything he wants, but somatic cell nuclear transfer is cloning. So when Senator Danforth says, we will engage in an effort to ban all types of human cloning, he is simply lying through his teeth.
Senator Danforth has something of a pedigree as a social conservative, and he's long claimed to be pro-life, and in these ads he touts his pro-life record when he did serve in the legislature.
Well, and he's right. When he was in the Senate, he had a very admirable pro-life record, and let's give credit where credit is due. But it doesn't change for a moment that he is misleading people on this ballot initiative. And I think, Todd, there are a whole lot of politicians out there that generally vote pro-life, but they don't understand the moral logic of the pro-life view, or they do understand it and don't like it, and for utilitarian reasons decide to confuse people about what's really at issue here. If you understand the moral logic of the pro-life view, that scientifically, from the earliest stages of development, the embryos in question are distinct, living, and whole human beings, and you understand philosophically there's no relevant difference between what we were as embryos and what we are today, that differences of size and development and dependency and location are non-essential differences. If you understand those two things, you don't come down on the side that Senator Danforth has come down on, unless you do understand them and want to mislead anyway.
So what is the utilitarian argument or the utilitarian ends that you just described? Explain that.
In this case, when it comes to embryonic stem cell research, there's soft utilitarianism and there's hardcore utilitarianism, as I've defined them. Don't look for those terms in a philosophy encyclopedia anywhere. But let me take what I'm referencing as the soft core form of this. The softer version says, look, these embryos are going to die anyway. They're going to be discarded. They're going to go to waste. We might as well put them to some good use. The problem, of course, is that it makes you complicit in the evil of destroying these embryos. All of us are going to die sometime. It doesn't follow that those of us who are going to die sooner rather than later can be used for medical research. Let me give you an example that I think will help here. Todd, if you and I were running a Cambodian orphanage during the reign of Pol Pot back in the 70s, And let's say we were running this orphanage there in Cambodia, and we were running out of food. We had 100 children there, all under the age of 6. We were running out of clean water. We had no medical supplies. And a researcher comes to us and says, you know what? You and I both know there's no way you're going to be able to keep these kids alive. They're going to die. You don't have what it takes to sustain them. I will put them to good use. I'll take them off your hands, and I'll use their organs for organ transplants so that we can cure other people of diseases. You and I, even if we were powerless to save those kids, we would never turn them over to somebody to do that research because we wouldn't want to be complicit in the evil of destroying them. And that's exactly what's wrong with this softer version of utilitarianism. It makes us complicit. Just because somebody's going to die sooner rather than later doesn't give us a license to chop them up for research. Prisoners on death row are going to die, and we wouldn't say, well, let's not let all that tissue go to waste. The stronger version here of utilitarianism says, look, ethics be gone. What matters here is the practical results. This research will save lives, and we should go for it, period. Science and science alone should determine what's right here. And that, of course, is a view of scientism that basically says morals have nothing to say to science. If we can do it, we ought to do it. It's a kind of technological morality. And both versions of this utilitarianism I've just described are in play in the debate over cloning and embryonic stem cell research.
Well, when we come back from this break, Senator Danforth, one of the proponents of embryonic stem cell research here in Missouri, is also an ordained minister, and his theological argument that he's made in public, especially with the release of his new book, is that embryonic stem cell research is okay because it's not an embryo until the embryo implants in the woman's uterus. We're going to get Scott's response to that argument when we come back from this break. We're talking about embryonic stem cell research. Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute, is our guest. You can check out the website for Life Training Institute. Simply go first to our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the section titled Links, and you'll find a direct link to Scott Klusendorf and Life Training Institute, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. So where do you stand on the issue of stem cell research? Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, September the 24th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. And everyone who calls in tonight with a question or a comment on stem cell research will get a free booklet titled Stem Cell Research, Understanding the Basics. 1-800-730-2727. Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just on the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through 7th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We are dedicated to hearing and discerning the clear voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, through our attention to the preaching, the historic liturgies, the catechesis, and the hymns of the church that communicate Christ. We hold a yearly conference during All Saints weekend in which we explore these things. We're particularly interested in serving congregations and parishes, parish pastors, musicians, and other church workers, and also helping the laity to come to love and appreciate the treasures of our Lutheran faith and our Lutheran liturgy and our Lutheran life.
Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through 7th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check,
issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, etc.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues, etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Dr. David Scare, chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, with two good reasons why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
The first one is, I really think the things of this world are not really worth striving after because it's all going to be taken away. The second thing, which is really the most important thing, is that the preaching of the gospel is itself is its own reward. And there is no other greater satisfaction to know that God has used you in a very significant way. And not that you're all that, not that we are all that important, because a few months, a few years after we pass away, we're forgotten. But just to know that you have acted in this way, and many people in the world to come are going to thank those people through whom the gospel was preached.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Find their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Issues, etc. is underwritten in part by LCMS World Relief. It's an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul. To find out more about their efforts in the Sudan, in the Gulf Coast, here in the U.S., for the victims of the various hurricanes, for the victims of the tsunamis in the Indian Ocean area, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438, Christ-centered, cross-focused, LCMS World Relief. Scott Klusendorf is our guest. Scott, here's Danforth's theological argument. He is an ordained minister in the Episcopal Church USA. And it's kind of a twofold argument having to do with the embryo. Look, it's not a human embryo, he says, until implantation in a mother's uterus. And even if it were, and even if he did believe it were, he has no right to rob people of the potential cures by imposing his particular article of faith or theological views on anyone else.
Well,
respond.
There's two things there. First of all, his definition of faith. In his view, it appears, taking the quote at face value, he views faith as a subjective private opinion that doesn't count as real knowledge. And Todd, this is huge in our culture today. Religion is reduced to private emotion, private sensations, but we shouldn't think of it as being true with a capital T the way we think of science being true with a capital T. We saw this when John Kerry argued that he was opposed to abortion, he respected human life, he was a deeply religious man, but he couldn't take what was an article of faith for him and impose it on someone else who had a different article of faith. And this idea that faith doesn't count as real knowledge that we can investigate and look at evidence for is really rampant in our society. And it allows people who are critics of the pro-life view to dismiss the pro-life position as a faith issue. And it relieves them, in other words, of the responsibility of ever having to argue for their pro-cloning or pro-embryo research views, because they can just label it as faith and that's the end of it. The other thing about this quote you just mentioned about him, I'm wondering where he thinks the Bible teaches that life begins at implantation. I've never read that. I would be curious to know what chapter and verse he got that from. As I read my Bible, the Bible teaches two things about human beings. Number one, all human beings bear God's image and therefore have value. Genesis 1, 26, 27, James 3, 9, to name a few references. The other thing the scriptures teach is that because human beings bear God's image, the shedding of innocent blood is strictly forbidden. Now, if we want to know if the Bible supports something like embryonic stem cell research, there remains just one question for us to ask. Is the embryo a human being? Because if so, the commands against scripture, or the commands in scripture against shedding innocent blood would apply to the embryos as they would anybody else. And indeed, the facts of science make clear that from fertilization or the completion of a cloning process, not implantation, the embryos in question are distinct, living, and whole human beings. Therefore, theologically, I conclude the Bible does not support the very research Danforth says that it does.
Well, they called along in support of the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. In this next ad, I want you to react to Dr. F. Sessions Cole. He's director of newborn medicine at Washington University here in St. Louis.
For babies who are struggling every day, the hope on the horizon for them and for their families is stem cell research. There are many different kinds of stem cell research. It is critical that all stem cell research be permitted in the state of Missouri. The focus of the Missouri Stem Cell Research Initiative is finding cures. As a physician, I urge every parent to support the Missouri Stem Cell Initiative.
All right, Scott, your response.
Well, it's real clever the way they do this. You have to hand it to them, Todd. They know that Americans view health care as a divine right, and they know that we worship health and reject suffering. And we'll do anything to avoid suffering. Of course, this flies in the face of the Christian worldview that says suffering, legitimate suffering, has redemptive value, and that ultimately our foundational point shouldn't be personal health, but living for the glory of God. However, most people who don't hold to that biblical worldview worship health and worship health care as being absolutely definitive in light of, or rather, as opposed to anything else. That is the thing that matters, health care. So when they talk about cures over and over again, it's not accidental. They're tapping into that sentiment. The second thing I would say they're doing in these ads is they're constantly talking about babies, as if babies are different than stem cells. And by stem cells, what they really mean are embryos that will be used to secure stem cells. But they want us to think that, oh, this research does not kill babies. You know what? I agree. In fact, there's not a pro-lifer anywhere out there that would dispute that this research doesn't kill babies. We agree it doesn't kill babies, but that's not our argument. Our argument is not that it kills babies. Our argument is that it unjustly takes the life of a human being, regardless of his stage of development, embryonic, fetal, or newborn stage.
Okay, here's the latest ad from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, Scott. It features famous musician and Missouri native Sheryl Crow touting all of the potential cures from stem cell research. Let's listen.
As a Missouri native and cancer survivor, I strongly support Amendment 2, the Stem Cell Initiative. That's why I'm joining with patient and medical groups to urge you to vote yes. Voting yes ensures that Missourians will have access to stem cell treatments that could provide cures for cancer, diabetes, Parkinson's, and many other diseases. Please join us and vote yes on 2. It could save the life of someone you love.
All right, this is the more personal approach. What's your response to this? It could save the life of someone you love.
Boy, I never thought I'd live to see the day where Sheryl Crow is an expert on metaphysics and science, but I guess we've arrived there. You know, she said something there that is really deceptive, and she didn't say it. Look, she's just reading from a script there. But this idea that we have to have Amendment 2 or people in Missouri won't have access to all stem cell cures. Todd, they already have access to all stem cell cures. It is perfectly legal in all 50 states to do embryonic stem cell research. What is not legal is to use federal funding for it. Nothing in the Bush policy banned embryonic stem cell research. What it did is it made sure the federal government didn't become complicit in it by funding it. So this idea that Missouri has got to have this amendment to catch up to the other 49 states is just plain misleading.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us right here during the program, here in the studio, with a question or a comment for Scott Klusendorf on embryonic stem cell research. Issuesetc at kfuo.org. That's issuesetc at kfuo.org. Let's talk first tonight with Brenda, who listens in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on WEMI. Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
What's your question or comment, Brenda?
Can we do stem cell research from embryonic or from umbilical blood?
Okay, that's a very good question. I don't know if you'd mentioned that before, Scott. How would you respond to Brenda's question?
Yes, we can do stem cell research from umbilical cord cells, and it's done. It's already being done, and it's a very rich supply for stem cells, and it's non-controversial. And here's why: we don't have to kill anybody to get those stem cells. And I think this is an important point, and I'm glad Brenda brought it up. We need to remind people, as I said at the beginning of our time together tonight, that we are not opposed to all forms of stem cell research. We are only opposed to one particular type that involves taking the life of a defenseless human being in order to treat disease in others, and we're opposed to that. But the good news here is that non-embryonic stem cell treatments are currently involved in treating 72 known diseases, while embryonic stem cells are currently treating none. And there are reasons for that. First of all, the embryonic cells can't be controlled, at least at this point. We don't know how to control them once they're implanted. They tend to form tumors, and that's, of course, a very big problem. Another problem we have is that the eggs that would be required to pursue these cloning treatments to get the stem cells are hugely expensive. We're talking $1,000 to $2,000 per egg, and you might need up to 100 of them to derive even one line of stem cells. The third thing is that, as I mentioned just a moment ago, the adult stem cells are just running roughshod over the embryonic counterparts, meaning the adult stem cells are actively being used in clinical treatments, and the embryonic ones aren't. And that has led to a fourth problem with the embryonic cells. Private investors are not ponying up the money to fund this kind of destructive embryo research. I think they kind of see that at the moment we're years away from any possible cure using these stem cells, and they'd rather put their money in something a whole lot less speculative.
Well, with only about 15 seconds here, just this last week we talked with someone on our weekday program who said, look, even though this Missouri thing wouldn't require Missouri state funds to be used for embryonic stem cell research, sooner or later that will come up because the private money isn't there. Your thoughts on that with only about 10 seconds?
Oh, absolutely right. And that's why all these pro-embryonic stem cell groups are trying to get their hands in the public trough.
Well, folks, we've got all sorts of resources on the issue of stem cell research posted at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find these articles, including several written by our guest, Scott Klusendorf, issuesetc.org. More of your phone calls and your email after this break. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issuesetc at kfuo.org, issuesetc at kfuo.org. When we come back, 10 more minutes in this hour with Scott Klusendorf on embryonic stem cell research. Your phone calls and your email, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc at kfuo.org.
What we do in times like this is pay close attention and recognize in it God's alien work to drive us to Jesus.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on what Christians should know during times of disaster.
We should rejoice over our relationship with Christ, over our relationship with our family. We should speak forgiveness to those whom we have sinned against and those who have sinned against us. We should be quick to think about eternal things and not the ridiculous things that ball us up and bog us down, which are necessary for life, but rejoice in the eternal verities which sustain us.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to the Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org, or call 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This isn't your grandfather's church. God is doing a new thing. Deeds, not creeds. You've heard Christians say things like this. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues Etc. journal titled Things Christians Say But Shouldn't. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's wrong with statements like a church for our generation, be all you can be Christianity, or reinventing church? Find out with the next Issues Etc. journal. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Dr. Chris Mitchell's journey from skeptical atheism to the certainty of the gospel. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. Ask for a free complimentary copy. 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is going to be hosting its annual Good Shepherd Institute November the 5th through the 7th, and we're going to be there broadcasting live. They've got some great speakers lined up this year, including Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Jest, Dr. Gene Edward Veith, and Dr. Paul Grimm, several others as well. It's the Good Shepherd Institute for Pastoral Theology and Sacred Music for the Church, November the 5th through the 7th. On the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary and ask all about it. Area code 260-452-2244, area code 260-452-2244. Ask about the Good Shepherd Institute. Scott, here's an email from Walt in Clinton, Maryland. Advocates of embryonic stem cell research often point out the increased flexibility of embryonic stem cells as a selling point for further research. With the added flexibility of embryonic stem cells, it would seem that a level of unpredictability also exists. How do proponents of this form of stem cell research propose to overcome the problems, and you mentioned them a few minutes before, such as tumor formation and the creation of viable stem cell lines? Scott.
Well, briefly, they haven't proposed anything to overcome those problems. And I think that Walt is right. Yes, these embryonic stem cells are indeed more flexible, but therein lies their problem. We also are notice that they're so flexible we can't control them. And that has led to, Todd, a very disturbing development within this whole cloning embryonic stem cell research debate. And what I'm referencing here is something known as fetus farming. In an answer to this problem of flexibility going awry on us, in other words, tumor formation, scientists like Dr. Robert Lanza at Advanced Cell Technology have proposed growing embryos into the later fetal stages and then harvesting organs so that we don't have a problem with tumors. He's already tried this in cow studies, and he is hopeful that we will soon be able to do this in human clinical trials as well. And I might add, he's got the green light to do it as long as he does it in states like New Jersey or California, where the so-called cloning bans that are in place simply prohibit the birth of a cloned human being. They don't prohibit at all using that clone human for destructive research before it is born.
Mike called from St. Paul, Minnesota. He listens on KKMS. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
Well, I am convinced that it's immoral to pay U.S. taxes because you are, by doing so, admitting that you owe for what is it called in the text there? It's Well, you admit that you owe them for welfare and defense, and they've by defining welfare and defense to include by asking you to pay taxes, they tell you that welfare and defense includes elective abortions, elective contraception, elective sterilization. Now, I'm wondering if there's any of these government entities that are funding stem cell research on an elective basis, because if so, that would provide another reason that paying U.S. taxes is immoral.
Mike, thank you very much. Laying aside the issue of whether or not it's immoral or moral to pay those taxes, because it might not be within the purview of our conversation, Scott, what about the issue of federal or state funding for embryonic stem cell research, destructive research, or human cloning for biomedical research?
Well, to be clear, at the moment, no federal tax dollars are being used to fund destructive embryo research. Federal tax dollars are being used to fund research on embryos that were killed prior to President Bush's policy on this, which he issued on August 8, 2001. Here's the history of what Bush inherited, because I think there is some confusion on this that we would be good to clear up. When President Bush took office, Congress had passed a law known as the Dickey Amendment that said no federal tax money could be used for destructive embryo research. Bill Clinton's administration tried to do an end run around this by saying, okay, fine, we won't use any federal money to actually kill these embryos. We'll just use federal dollars to experiment on them once they're already dead. Well, of course, that violates the whole principle and the whole spirit of the Dickey Amendment in the first place. So Bush inherited a mess. On one hand, Congress had issued a law. On the other hand, the previous administration had been doing an end run around the law, and now it was up to Bush to try to either reconcile those two things or come up with a way of doing it. And his policy was to say, okay, fine, no more money for destructive embryo research. Not another cent is going to go toward killing embryos and experimenting on them. However, he allowed the continued funding of research on embryos that were killed already before he made this policy decision. And, of course, some pro-lifers thought what he did was absolutely brilliant, and others think it was very bad. I happen to think it was the best possible decision he could make at the moment. But what that did is say federal money would no longer be used for embryonic stem cell research. So that's where we are today. Now, the Congress has tried to override the president, and he vetoed that attempt this last summer. So that's where we are federally.
All right. Here's an email from David in Fort Worth, Texas, a brief response as our time winds down. He says, if embryology textbooks say that life begins at conception, then why don't we just get a doctor who's written one of these books, put him in public and to say so? Why do we have lawyers and other amateurs, I think he refers here to the politicians, telling the rest of us what a human is or isn't?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think we should have commercials with experts up there saying this is nonsense, and a lot of people are trying to redefine science to advance a political agenda. I agree.
All right, finally here, and I'll give you about 2 minutes to respond because you'll have to make it a thorough response. Whenever the issue of stem cell research is being discussed among our listeners, what questions do we need to ask? Give us a list.
First thing, what do you mean by stem cell research? Make the person define what they mean, because chances are the person you're talking to doesn't even know what they mean. They're just parroting what they've heard in the media. The second question I would ask is, do you think human beings should be created, then destroyed to benefit other human beings? Once the person says no to that, but turns right around and says it's okay to do embryonic stem cell research, you know they're assuming the embryos in question are not human like you and I, Todd. So I would then press that issue and make them explain why they're making that assumption. I think Hadley Arkus gives us the best soundbite response I've heard yet on how we ought to deal with this issue.
What's that? 1 minute, no more.
Yeah, it's 1 minute. He says, given a choice between a treatment that is lethal for human subjects and one that is non-lethal for human subjects, wouldn't we be inclined to favor the non-lethal treatment, especially when that non-lethal treatment has proven itself immensely more beneficial to human research than the lethal treatment. And I think that just nails it. It's the perfect balance of focusing on the humanity of the embryo as the main moral issue, and then focusing on the practical reality that adult stem cells, which are not controversial, are really doing a great job treating illness.
To find out how to contact our guest in this hour, Scott Klusendorf and Life Training Institute, or to help Issues Etc. defend life from beginning to end by joining our monthly donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. The number again, 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's the real issue, the center of the moral issue, the moral logic, whether one favors embryonic stem cell research, destructive research, or human cloning for biomedical research, or one stands against it, the real center issue for the advocate or for those who would prohibit such things is the embryo. Now, which side is playing fast and loose with the central moral issue of the embryo? Which side is taking out the word embryo and inserting the word early? Which side is making up new definitions such as pre-embryo, or defining the embryo as only implanted in the woman's uterus? It's the advocates of embryonic stem cell research. That should tell you something. Again and again and again, it's an effort to avoid the central moral issue that is raised by embryonic stem cell research. It's an attempt to avoid the embryo. Now, can any sound scientific or moral or philosophical arguments be made in favor of embryonic stem cell research when the very central issue, the embryo, the one whose life is given, the innocent life is given to further that medical research? No. That's why they're avoiding the issue of the embryo. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.